Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I have a great many wonderful Pentecostal folk, and it may be you want to just tune me out at this particular time, because I want to say something here that I feel is very important. There's a tragic story that happened in a little town near Los Angeles where a man threw away the insulin that his little son was supposed to take because he said God was going to heal him. And the little fellow died. And then the man must be very fanatic. He said the Lord is going to raise him up because he had been anointed. Now, the leaders of the denomination that he belongs to said that he was never told anything like that, and I believe it because I have had the privilege of meeting on several occasions in the past with the man who taught theology in one of the outstanding Pentecostal schools, and he told this to me. He said, Dr. McGee, I want you to know I agree with you when you were healed of cancer that just anybody can be healed. It has to be the will of God. And when they say that, I'm right with them because I stand in that category. Now, the question arises, is it God's will for every Christian who gets sick that he should be healed? And if your answer is yes, and you follow that line of thinking to the logical conclusion, you must agree that that person, that Christian, will never die. And he'll be healed of every disease that causes death. And may I say that's ridiculous, because if you do get healed today, I've been healed of cancer, but I expect to die if the Lord doesn't come in the meantime. May I say, I feel it's a cruel hoax, one of the most cruel, and it's been perpetrated on many simple believers that it's God's will for all to be healed. Well, what he's saying here is something quite interesting. It says, and he makes it very clear, and I want to read it, and it's not actually a question here. Someone is sick among you. Not a question. Someone's sick among you. What do you do? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. All right? Let the elders come and pray. That's one thing. And the thing that is separate, let him be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this word anoint, there are two words that are translated anoint. And one of them is used in a religious sense. And that word in the Greek is cryo. And we get from that our word Christos. Christ was the anointed one. And it means to anoint with some scented unguent or oil. And it's only used five times in the New Testament. And it refers to the anointing of Christ by God the Father with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another word, and that's the word that's used here. It's alepho, and you find that used many times. I think that I have one reference here, and that's all I'll give you. In Matthew 6, verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Now, all that means is to just put a little Brill cream, Vitalis, on your hair so that you'll look all right. Now, may I say this very carefully. Alepho is the mundane and profane, according to Trench. And the other word, creo, means it's a sacred and religious word. Here, it is alepho, and all it means to rub with oil. You remember that when Hezekiah was sick, they put something on that boil that he had, an oil on it. And actually what James is saying in a very practical way is, call for the elders to pray and go to the best doctor that you can get. That's exactly what he's saying. You are to use medicine. And this idea that you think it's a religious ceremony to put a little oil out of a bottle on somebody's head as if that has some merit, has no merit whatsoever, and James is just too practical to use that. But he's practical enough, and he was a man of prayer. He says, call for the elders to pray. And that's the reason. When I got sick, I put it out on the radio. I believe in the priesthood of believers, and I believe before God, as he makes it clear here, about Elijah.